First of all, let me just thank everybody for being here. This is a great turnout for the meeting. We've actually had some appointment activity going on over the course of the last few months since the beginning of the year. We've taken some action on what the committee asked us to do with membership. So working with the mayor's office, we got our appointments together. So we have a few new members. A couple of them actually couldn't make today's meeting, but definitely are here in spirit and wanted us to let you know that they are wholeheartedly jumping in with 2 feet on this effort. But some of the advice from the committee was, and from the visit from NLC, was that we have some representation on the committee from MPS, and Mark Sain agreed to serve. He's a Milwaukee School Board director, to serve on the council. So he was appointed, and some representation from the philanthropic community. So both the United Way and the Greater Milwaukee Foundation have representation now on the council. And we have a county supervisor, Khalif Rainey, from the county, is representing on the council. And just so you all know, it used to be Alderman Stamper, but he got elected.
Right.
And he came down here to the city, and he said, he said the heavy lifting at the county is going to be left to Khalif.
Indeed, he has.
He was going to relieve some of this pressure over here at the city. And that's appreciated. So so we did that. And then even though Treasurer Coggs has actually been to a number of meetings already, this is already a major concern and of his, but he actually wanted to sit on the council. And there was no way in the world that I was going to turn down the experience of state representative, senator, state treasurer, and longtime community advocate, Spencer Coggs, from participation on this. It could do nothing but benefit.
Just so you know, you gave me the big sign, so in case I didn't know who I was.
Well, hey, it's the privilege, right? So thanks for that. And then, am I missing anybody that was new? That's it. All right, so why don't we do this just so, peanut gallery over here. but just so we can get started with everybody kind of knowing who's around the table. I don't know who knows who. I know that there was some time that was spent socializing right before the meeting. But if we could just do a quick introduction going around, I think that would be helpful for anybody that's new sitting around the table. And we can begin with you.
Okay, City Treasurer Spencer Cox.
Rob Cherry, Community Advocates.
Khalif Rainey, Supervisor, Milwaukee County 2nd District.
Good morning, I'm Jim Santel. I'm United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin.
Good morning, State Senator Nakia Harris-Dodd, Co-Chair of BMAC.
And I'm Ashanti Hamilton, Alderman for the 1st District, Co-Chair of BMAC.
Tom Barrett, great to be here.
Clifton Crump, Mayor Barrett's office.
Lee Kundi with the Nonprofit Center of Milwaukee.
Daryl Davidson, City of Milwaukee Health Department.
Russell Stamper, the 2nd, 15th District Alderman.
Sam Coleman on behalf of Bishop Walter Harvey.
All right, and because of our new appointment process, everybody has to get sworn in again, so we have to do our oath of office. So we can do all of that at the same time. Those who are absent from today's committee meeting are going to come in to get their oath of office at the city clerk's office. So we can do that now.
So the following members will raise up the right hand: Mr. Reggie Moore, Mr. Robert Cherry, Mrs. Lee Cundy, Mr. Walter Harvey, I know it's not here, Mr. Khalif Rainey, Mr. Russell Stamper II, Ms. Nikia Harris, Mr. Mark Shane, I know he's not here, Mr. Clifton Crump, and is Ms.
No, she's not here.
Okay. And then you guys are going to repeat after me. No, you don't.
Oh, I don't.
Neither does it mean you're here.
You're right. It's okay.
I.
I.
And say your name.
Nakia Harris-Dodd.
Member of the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council, swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin and will faithfully discharge the duties of said office to the best of my abilities. And I have left sheets for you guys to sign in your name. If you can return those to me before you leave the meeting, please.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Awesome.
All right, the minutes from our last meeting in December,
I would move approval of those meetings.
All right, then motion by Mayor Barrett.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Harris. Are there any objections to the approval of the minutes? All right, hearing no objections, so ordered. Moving right along, since we got started a little bit late, I want to jump right into our agenda with item five, with the Boys and Men of Color update. A lot of the activity that's been going on since December has really been trying to align the activity in the planning of the Boys and Men of Color. And the work of BMAC, the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council, and the My Brother's Keeper program. And so that a lot of the work that's being done here in the city is actually coordinated, and the efforts of these different groups around the same effort can be kind of shooting down the same pipe. And one of the leaders in that, in helping to kind of keep everybody on the same page, has been Jeff Roman. And so we really want to begin with kind of a communication on a lot of that activity and a lot of that work that's been going on, kind of get everybody on the same page. And we have Senator Taylor here in the office, and at some point I just do want her to come up and make some comments about some of the work that they've been doing, and we'll save some time for that. All right. So right at you, Jeff.
Thank you, Alderman Hamilton, and to the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council, thank you for having me once again. I think I briefed the commission a few months ago, I believe it was, if not August, earlier last year. And so was asked to come and give an update to the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council on the work that's been happening around a broader effort to engage and include and improve outcomes for boys and men of color broadly across the city of Milwaukee and talk about the connection and the importance of the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council and the work that you all are embarking on to advance a collective and cohesive strategy in response to President Obama's My Brother's Keeper initiative. So I prepared a few slides. I'm gonna try to get through this as quickly as possible. We also have our partner from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee School of Education, who we've tapped as to help us develop a framework and evaluation and a framework, who's gonna talk about that and the specific connection to Black Male Achievement work, not only here locally, but nationally, so that you all can have a good understanding of the work that we're doing and the connection that it has to each of the work that you're doing as part of this council. So, if I didn't say so already, my name is Jeff Roman. I'm with the Community Advocates Public Policy Institute, benchmark coordinator for Minority Male Achievement. And my job is to identify, align, coordinate all the various work that's happening around the community to improve outcomes for boys and men of color across the city of Milwaukee. So I want to jump right into the presentation and just give a bit of a foundation of why we've come to focus on more broadly on boys and men of color, so you get a good understanding of the connection to the BMAC and the work that you're doing here. We've been able to identify from the 2010 U.S. Census Bureau, there are approximately 181,000 young men and men and boys of color birthed through end of life here in the city of Milwaukee proper. And if you look at the chart here, the significant majority, or about 59-60% of that population, are African American men, about 106 black or African American males. And so the work that we do more broadly on boys and men of color is critically important. It's critical that we really focus on the plight and the resilience and assets of black men because of the numbers that are in the community. 106 out of 181, about 60%. So if you just look at the chart, I won't go through all the numbers for you, but you can see the breakdown from the different diverse communities of men, African American and black at the top, Hispanic, Latino, about 53,000, Asian, or Southeast Asian, Hmong, Burmese, those communities, about 10,000, Native Indian, just over 2,000, and then those who categorize themselves as two or more races, about 10,000 in total, 181. And then you can see the breakdowns at the bottom of the percentages here in Milwaukee City proper. This isn't the county, this isn't region, this is all city of Milwaukee. And so based on that, what we've done was, in response to the challenge that My Brother's Keeper Initiative has given us, we wanted to really be able to respond and to develop a cradle-to-career strategy for all boys and men of color. And we've settled on this vision for Milwaukee. And you all have heard this before. We talked about it, and we talked about this, I believe, last year this time about articulating a vision for boys and men of color in Milwaukee, particularly black men. And that vision is a city and a region where all boys and men of color are healthy, productive, and empowered to live their lives to the fullest potential, and to do so with dignity. And we'll talk about dignity in a few minutes. I highlighted three words, or four words actually: healthy, productive, and empowered, and in dignity, because when we were asked to create a vision statement, we were asked to do so and keep in mind, how do you quantify the vision that you're doing? And so the three areas, health, productivity, and empowerment, are areas that we can quantify the improvement of males, the outcomes of males. And what we're attempting to do is to quantify that through a dignity-based framework, and we'll talk about that. And so there are six broad areas that we're working on broadly for improving outcomes for boys and men of color. I don't know what that is. All right. Community engagement, so reaching out to all the diverse communities, whether they be African American, the Latino, Southside community, our Southeast Asian community, our Native Indian reservations and community that are represented here, our LGBT men in those communities, and all the various communities that intersect or that have young men of color. We are intentionally increasing our outreach to include and engage those communities in this work. And in doing that, we are having intentional conversations on how we link and coordinate and align all the various work that's happening across the city so that we can develop and really tell the full story of how we are working as a community to improve outcomes. The third area is on policy advocacy, reviewing policy and then doing an analysis. I think Senator Harris, co-chair Harris Dodd, was talking about developing and advancing an agenda to be able to do minority impact statements. And so we were looking at that, and how do we, for boys and men of color, really advance a policy agenda around analyzing, reviewing, and then developing and advocating for policies that make sense, that improve outcomes for boys and men of color. The fourth focus areas for our collaborative work is on funding and philanthropy, and really identifying resources and investment that can help us support this work. And then not only depending on our funders and area philanthropy to be able to support this work, but really being intentional about how we develop capacities in the various communities to invest and develop philanthropic capacities within their communities to support this work as well. And so what that means is we shouldn't be depending on our funders solely and alone and our city government and state resources to be able to fund this work. It's critical that we're working within each of these communities to build their leadership, to build their capacity, and to build their infrastructure to be able to support this work so that they can define the work that they need in those communities. Strategic communication and awareness, so being able to really tell the story of what we're doing and the narrative and changing the narrative for boys and men of color, particularly African American men, and doing so smartly with our media, with the various partners and audiences that need to know about what we're doing and why. And then lastly, really being intentional about how we focus and align the work that this group, the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council, in the larger Black Male Achievement field. Because Black Male Achievement is not a program or a service, Black Male Achievement is an emerging field of study and research and practice, and how we align that theory, that action, that practice and align that with the My Brother's Keeper framework that's happening nationally, and we'll talk about that, I think, next. And so what we are doing through the Boys and Men of Color work is really responding and coordinating response for the city's response to the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge. And this past September, when the challenge was announced, I was named by Milwaukee County to be the point of contact for Milwaukee County. Steve Mahan is the point of contact for the city of Milwaukee. And what we've decided to do is, instead of doing two or three different initiatives and two different focuses, we have been working with Steve Mahan and his team here as the point of contact for the city of Milwaukee to coordinate efforts. And so the county is not responding one way, the state and the different Native communities aren't responding another way, and the city's not responding another way, but we're all working together to respond in like strategy to the My Brother's Keeper Challenge, and we're doing that through the Boys and Men of Color Initiative. And so I want to talk quickly about the six My Brother's Keeper goals, milestone goals. There are six broadly defined. Goal one, which is entering school ready to learn, all young people, particularly with emphasis on young men of color, being able to enter school ready to learn. Goal two, be able to read at grade level by third grade. Goal three, graduating from high school ready for college and career. Goal four, completing post-secondary education or training. Goal 6, successfully entering the workforce of pathways to career advancement. And then goal 6, a very, very important one, reducing violence, violent crime, and providing second chances. Those are the 6 broad milestone goals that the White House and the individuals who have been working nationally to define the framework for My Brother's Keeper have laid out, and that we are working to align and coordinate here in Milwaukee. There's a 7th that's more overarching, and that is an emphasis on improving mentorship and community engagement. And it's not included as an actual 7th because it is intended to be fused through all the other 6 goals. And so what's important for this group to know is that there is an intentional alignment of the work that you all are doing with the different focuses areas that you all have and the My Brother's Keeper initiative. And I just want to quickly go through them for you all. Last year, the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council was structured into 6 work groups or committees. There was a family committee, the education committee, the employment committee, or workforce development, health and wellness, and then criminal justice, public safety, incarceration. We lumped them all together. I mean, then there was a faith-based and community engagement work group that were put together. So what we did in order to help this group and to help the community who's looking to really advance a Black Male Achievement agenda in alignment with the My Brother's Keeper goals was we articulated what the focuses of each of those work groups were, and then identify the goal areas for the My Brother's Keeper that align with them. And so you see those here. I won't read through them all, but you can see that all of the focus areas that you all are working under your work group committees, they specifically align to specific or a number of goals within the My Brother's Keeper framework. And we'll be able to share this with you all so you have the copy of this so we don't have to read and go through. I'm trying to go rush so we can get through the other agenda. Questions so far?
You mentioned city and county partners, but mm-hmm. I didn't hear the state partner. Who are those?
We'll talk about that in a second. It's in the presentation.
Thank
yes.
you.
All right. Here we go. So as you all know, in October, the end of October of 2014, the city of Milwaukee hosted the first ever locally and nationally Boys and Men of Color Week, which was really the formal response to the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge. And thanks to the mayor, the leadership of the mayor, and Steve Mahan and his team, and a number of other partners who came to the table, including community advocates and the Nonprofit Center, the Center for Youth Engagement, and a number of others who are part of this council, came together to really say, we are all in this together. How do we make a united front to really be advocates for Black males and boys and men of color in our community? And so I just wanted to give you a quick update on the work that's been happening since that Boys and Men of Color Week and our former response to the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge. Now, 4 months later now. I mean, there are 3 broad areas that we've been working to do, follow-up, coordination, and planning. And so to your question, Senator Harris, we've been really intentional about who we are engaging and how we are engaging, both at the grassroots level and at the grass tops levels. And so we've identified and we've convened a number of times since Boys and Men of Color Week, about 2 or 3 times, actually, a number of systems level and grassroots stakeholders to come together to help us define the strategy for it. A number of those stakeholders include the city of Milwaukee and some of the various departments that are across the city, the state, so the Department of Children and Families, the Department of Corrections, and the Department of Workforce Development. We've identified points of contact in each of those departments, Milwaukee Public Schools, MATC, UWM, a number of funders and foundations who have come to the table, and I'll talk about them in just a second, our business community, and then, of course, the nonprofit sector, again, thanks to the help of the Nonprofit Center, who's been really helping us to organize and have a reach to the nonprofit sector in our community. And as you know, the nonprofit sector crosses so many different mm-hmm. spectrums in terms of service and service and program delivery. The second thing that we've been able to do through our Boys and Men of Color work is really identify, engage, and now some commitments from funders in the community to really support this work, but not just to throw money and not just to say we want to support this work, but relying on the Boys and Men of Color initiative to really help them be strategic in how they're investing their grant-making dollars and improving outcomes for Boys and Men of Color. And so we've convened and are convening a Boys and Men of Color funders groups, and there are organizations like, of course, those who sit at this table, United Way and the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, of course, but also the Burke Foundation, Helen Bader, Bader Philanthropies, Community Advocates Public Policy Institute, also a funding resource, Zilber Family Foundation, the Castech Foundation, and a number of others who have come together who who have committed to investing or supporting this work. But again, I wanted to be more intentional about how, and so are working with us to develop some strategies and some smart strategies on how to invest in this work more broadly and across the city. Yes, Northwestern Mutual Foundation and a number of others through the work, through our connections with United Way and the Burke Foundation. There are a number of corporate philanthropy and high network individuals who are also part of that collaborative as well. And to help us advance this work, we've convened a planning group. You see the individuals here, a number of them, or a few of them are also represented on this advisory council. So myself, Robert Cherry, Reggie Moore, Dominique Samara, and Janine Edwards from the P3 Development Group. Dr. Dakota Irby and Monique Liston from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I'll turn it over to her in just a second. Steve Mahan and the staff after the staff of the Department of Administration who are helping to staff and lead this work here for you. And then being real intentional about identifying individuals from the other communities to help us frame and do this work. And then, of course, we invite the leadership of this committee, Senator Harris and Alderman Hamilton, I'm a representative from the mayor's office, to help us inform the strategy ongoing. And so lastly, I just want to talk about the technical assistance and the capacity building that the Boys and Men of Color program has been providing to a number of organizations through the Community Advocates Public Policy Institute, leading off with the Boys and Men of Color Initiative and the collaborators that we have around the table who we just identified, and really working with them and within their different capacities to advance a Boys and Men of Color agenda. And so, for example, we've been working with the Nonprofit Center over the last, since the Boys and Men of Color Week, to promote and schedule Boys and Men of Color focused workshop agenda. And those workshops have been going off and have got great response and great attendance that focus on things like trauma-informed care and working with organizations who are creating their own individual Black male or Boys and Men of Color councils within their organizations and introducing to the organizations a dignity-based framework to be able to really quantitatively evaluate the work that they're doing and improve outcomes. Other groups that we're working with through our TA and capacity building efforts through the Boys and Men of Color Initiative include, of course, this body here, the City of Milwaukee, and the staff that leads this work here. The Milwaukee Life Course Initiative, particularly their Strength in African American Families and Focus on Male Engagement Work Group, who have totally aligned with not only with this work of this council, but the work of the Boys and Men of Color Work Initiative. Milwaukee Public Schools, who has recently launched a My Brother's Keeper Planning Initiative district-wide. The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, who also has launched an African American Male Initiative. Likewise, Milwaukee Area Technical College, who has also announced this a couple months ago, their Men of Color Initiative. The Milwaukee Alliance for Black School Educators and the Black Child Development Institute, who are working with DPI on advancing the state's Promoting Excellence for All initiative that directly aligns with the My Brother's Keeper and the Boys Men of Color work. Of course, the Nonprofit Center. And then working with the United Way and other funders to develop and help us develop strategies to be able to advance this work. But more importantly, most importantly, I think, is the work that we've been doing with the Resource Center for Urban Education Leadership at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in helping us to really define what we're doing and how we're doing it and what we're calling building a dignity-based evaluation or dignity-based framework. So I'm going to turn it over to our research associate, Monique Liston, who works with Dr. Irby, to take us through that quickly.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you again to the council for being here today, and thank you that there's sunshine outside. It makes this much easier for me to present today. I want to follow up with what Jeff was speaking about capacity building. Our role at the Research Center for Urban Education Leadership Development is to come in and help develop the evaluation strategy for the BMLC work. And to take a cue from the United Nations and their deputy director, the quote that they put out when evaluating what's happening in their UN development projects regarding women was, what is measured matters, and what matters gets measured. And that quote has really been driving how we have been framing this BMLC work. At the end of the day, what is put at the beginning as something that matters is ultimately measured as success at the end of the day. So you can't come in at the end and say that this matters when that wasn't put in at the beginning. So we're really intentional about saying, what is it that we really want to put at the onset of this project that will really set the tone for how we approach this whole thing. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about how we came up with the dignity-based framework. Some of you might have seen this flyer. It's been promoted by various avenues over the last couple months. But what it is Dr. Irby and I have issued a survey that went out to, almost 300 different organizations for them to tell us what they were doing for boys and men of color in Milwaukee at this time. So you can go to the next slide. And from that survey, we've got 51 organizations that have been profiled so far. 47% of those organizations focus on family, community, and social development. So thinking back to those initial goals that Jeff outlined, the MBK goals and the BMOC goals, 47% are just focused on that one goal. 60% of these organizations provide direct client services. 92% of these organizations focus explicitly on black boys and men. So we're talking about, what do we say, about 110,000 106,000 out of the total number. And most of these organizations have identified critical needs in the areas of fundraising and leadership, and that is within the organization, for their boards, and in their communities. And so the survey included questions about asking them about where they were in training and developing, how secure they felt in providing services for boys and men of color, where they felt they need help, how they feel their board can get involved, was there representation from black males or boys and men of color in their organization, in their work as volunteers, or in leadership. So these are the questions that kind of drove the survey, which is still going on at this point. To follow up the survey, we held site visits, and the site visits consisted of three main parts. One, the scope of work of the organization. What is it that you do? And oftentimes people gave us that run-of-the-mill mission statement, and you'll see how that changed by the time we got to the end of the interview. Second, we asked them about the success of their organization. How do you know what you're doing is working? How do you know at the end of the day what you're doing is good? And that's where we had the big disconnect, because the mission of the organization says, we're here to do blah, 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 blah. And you ask them why they're successful, and they tell you something totally different. And it's not a bad thing. It's just the reality of that your mission statement doesn't really reflect of the meaningful work that you do. And what we got down to into following up that reflection of that disconnect or that dissonance was that their visions for boys and men of color were on a different level than what their organization actually did. So while the mission might be to get jobs, to reconnect parents, to give life skills, at the end of the day, they were giving certain quotes or certain things that really reflected their community building and their relationships with boys and men of color. And the next slide is an example. We were interviewing, this is a small local organization, this was the executive director of the organization, and when asked, how do you know when she's successful, she gave, well, I tell my grantors X, Y, and Z. But, well, to be honest, I can see it in them. They walk different, they walk taller, they carry themselves in a different way. I can see it, I can feel it, but I don't know what to call it.
That's right.
And so what they were doing, and this wasn't the only person, is that people were responding like this. But I just don't know what to call it. And it was from those conversations that we developed this concept of what people were really talking about was dignity. At the end of the day, they wanted to say the boys and men of color that they served were being treated with dignity, felt that they had dignity, were dignified in their manner, in their speech, in the way they interacted with their families and in their peers. But that ultimately reflected everything that was going on. And so just to give you a brief overview of how we're seeing or envisioning dignity, we think about dignity on two different levels. One, as a guiding principle, this idea that everyone is a human being, I should treat someone as such. It shouldn't be so foreign to us, but it is. And so we're outlining that as the guiding principle of how we should just enter into these conversations knowing that dignity should be at the forefront. But it also can be a success indicator. So you see at the bottom some circles, relational, substantive, attributed, inflorescent, and identity recognition as examples of non-inherent dignity. And so that would be very simply, if you ask on the city level, is there a representation of boys and men of color in city government? On an organization, is there a representation of boys and men of color in your leadership structure and your board of directors? Inside of the organization, is there direct service providers who reflect the population that they're actually serving? That would be dignity of identity and recognition. And inflorescent dignity, as in when I walk down the street, do people give me the respect that I deserve? That's part of that dignity that's wrapped up in there. So we have that humanity level, and then we have that attributed, earned, respect, meritous dignity that we are going to look for in terms of actual success indicators. What we really want to point out is that this dignity framework doesn't come out of nowhere and has particular salience for boys and men of color, especially in the city of Milwaukee. This idea of dignity fits squarely within the Black American struggle for racial equality. So if we talk, we can go all the way back, and if I can do the research paper for you if you want, about how this ties to before we even landed in this country. But if you look squarely into Black Power civil rights movements, the echoing term that is used by everyone is dignity. You have Martin Luther King, who uses the term somebodyness when he talks about in Cleveland on the bus, and he says, the thing is that my mother instilled in me a sense of somebodyness, and we got to teach each other that we are somebody. That's his idea of dignity. You have Kwame Ture, who stand up and said, you know, black power means black dignity. So at the end of the day, these things are what actually wraps this up in something that is meaningful for not just me, but people who interact with me. You have Adam Clayton Powell, who shouts out black dignity all the time when he's on the Senate floor. You also have the infamous 1968 Olympics with Tommy Smith and Juan Carlos when they're putting up their black fists in the air. And if you ask them what that was about, they will respond, it is about a demonstration of dignity. This also fits within the human rights.